Aaron Mankey knows that truth is often stranger and scarier than fiction. His hit podcast, Lore, uncovers how horror stories and folklore full of dark figures like vampires, witches, and werewolves are actually rooted in real-life events. A little bit history and a little bit campfire storytelling, the award-winning podcast has found quite a following. It consistently tops the charts on iTunes and has been hailed by critics as one of the best history podcasts. And now it's been turned into a television series on Amazon with the help of the producers from The Walking Dead and The X-Files. Just in time for Halloween and ahead of his visit to Charlotte this week, WFAE's Sarah D'Elia spoke with him about the world of lore he's created and the rich tradition of folklore that has stuck around since America's early days.
Settlers up and down the East Coast of what would one day become America came ashore with heads full of superstitions and a propensity to attach meaning to things we might overlook today. They came with minds that were perfectly wired to build new folklore on the backs of old tales. New fears, new legends, new hauntings. And we can still find those creations in many places along the eastern seaboard. Places like North Carolina. Before the vacation homes and sun-baked tourists crowded along the sandy shores of the Outer Banks, pioneers were attempting to carve out an existence there. Those that survived left behind more than buildings and descendants, though. Today, the Outer Bank is home to tales that still send shivers down the spines of locals and tourists alike. Because folklore, whether it's new or old, has a way of leaving its mark. I'm Aaron Mankey, and this is Lore.
You're looking into stories that are hundreds of years old. What's the research process like?
Every episode is different. Some topics are more global in nature. And so, you know, the research process is a lot more scattered and multifaceted, you know, where I'm picking up books by people who are experts in the field or, you know, journals. But then, you know, I do an episode like a recent one called Wide Open about, you know, a local incident that happened. And that one, you know, it's just more local newspaper clippings and the few books that have picked up the story and dug deep into it.
It was one of those cool September nights that makes you think of campfires and dry leaves, but the man couldn't see any of that. It was the middle of the night, and he was returning from an out-of-town business trip. Ulysses Griffith sold farm equipment in the surrounding community, and it kept him very busy, even by 1903 standards. As he was passing through town, exhausted and ready to climb into bed after such a long day, he studied the small village he called home. I think we've all done this before, when we're given the chance to see our community through a new lens, while all the hustle and bustle is asleep and the lights have all flickered out. Griffith was probably reveling in it. And that's when he saw something out of the corner of his eye. It was dark out. The moon was only a quarter full, after all, but he swore he saw a shape moving on one of the nearby rooftops. He turned to look, expecting it to vanish, but no, there was something out there, climbing from building to building like an animal. An animal with a light. At least, that's what he thought.
Every time it's a new adventure, it's a little bit of variety, which is nice. You know, I don't have to... It's not, there's no rut that I'm in. It's just, okay, this topic kind of means that I need to go this way with it. So I dig in. The research process typically begins with me handing the topic's name and maybe a theme that I'm guessing at and handing it to a research assistant. And I let them go out and find me all the source material and outline the, whether it's the events or a bio or whatever, they outline it out for me. And what that does for me is I've got a very distractible brain. So if I was to sit down and do all of that, I'd go down 100 rabbit trails and I would never get anything done. So I let a research assistant do it. And then they come back to me with all of those pieces. And that's where I start. I read all the sources. I read the outline. I go deep. And then once it's in my head, my brain just kind of takes over and starts putting the outline for the story together.
On the surface, your podcast is you, your voice, and some kind of creepy, well-thought-out music. But of course, there's more to it than that. There's a great amount of research that goes into it. And your writing just kind of sucks people in. You've said, I've read in other interviews, that you didn't, you know, set out to make this podcast, but it's turned out to be such a hit. Why do you think people are obsessed with this podcast?
You know, there is that deceptively simple nature of it, right? I mean, it's just, like you said, it's just me talking over a music bed. And I think because of that, maybe there's a bit less, you know, friction to get it in your head. There's no multiple talking heads you have to wrap your mind around. Who's talking now? Who is that? You know, there's no rambling discussion. It's a really focused story. I mean, it's almost like an audiobook, right? It's this pre-written historical essay that has a little bit more of a conversational tone. I'm kind of making it up as I go along, so I don't know if I've ever been able to boil down exactly what it is that makes the show so popular. That's kind of frustrating too, because if I ever had another show, I wouldn't be able to replicate it. But I also think that there's something to be said for just unanswered questions and mysteries, you know, that people like these stories because they don't pretend to have all the answers. And sometimes I think it's okay to have that. And I think some people actually seek out a little bit of mystery in their life.
More of Sarah D'Elia's interview with Aaron Menke, creator of the hit podcast Lore, in just a moment. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Let's get back to Sarah D'Elia's conversation with Aaron Menke. He's the creator and host of the hit podcast Lore, which reveals the dark historical tales behind many of our modern-day superstitions. Lore has now been made into a television show on Amazon.
Throughout history, fear was best kept buried, sealed, closed. But folklore has a way of keeping the door open wide, allowing stories to live and breathe, to creep inside and haunt us. I'm Aaron Menke. This is Lore.
Have you always been into scary stories?
Yeah, I can trace a lot of it back to fifth grade. I don't know how much further back it goes than that. A couple of things happened in fifth grade. I was 10. My reading teacher sent us home with one of those Scholastic Readers Club catalogs, the little, you know, letter-sized newsprint, full-color things where you can buy books in. And I remember seeing a book in there. I don't remember who the author was or, you know, what it was called, but it was essentially a collection of weird but true tales, things that were supposed to have happened in the past, but were really, really on that edge of, could this have happened? You know, I convinced my parents to buy it for me and fell in love. Those stories just, it's like they flipped the switch inside my head and I've never looked back. And then it was later that year, that must have been at the beginning of the school year. And I think looking back on how it all kind of unfolded, I think maybe that catalog itself had some Halloween merchandise in it because Halloween was coming up. And then I got the book and my teacher, the same teacher, assigned us a short story for Halloween to work on our handwriting. Actually, it was a cursive assignment. She called it Chicken Scratch and wanted us to get better. So I wrote a story about a family in a pumpkin patch, and it was, it was my first attempt at writing a scary story, and I really, really enjoyed it. And I think after that, it was just a matter of every chance I had, I was writing something.
Well, most of the stories that you tell look at the worst in humanity, from people being buried alive to lobotomies and murders. How does that affect the way that you see the world? Do you see it through less than rosy colored glasses?
Yeah, it's it's kind of like talk to somebody who works at the CDC and how they view experiences at like an airport bathroom. You know, they have a unique perspective on it. And I'm not a, you know, fully trained cultural anthropologist or a psychologist. I mean, all of this is armchair activity for me. I'm just learning as I go. But you can't read stories that are part of our folklore tradition and not walk away thinking, if this is a thing we've passed down from generation to generation, or if this is a thing that happened in the past, what does it say about us? I think you have to do that. I think that collections of tales, whether they're audio or in print or whatnot, that explore the weird things just to explore them, are missing half the picture, right? Because people tell these stories, and whether they're true or not, the story comes out of that person and it's a reflection of who they are Or maybe we're talking about events that happened and we see what people have done in the past. And it really does make you a little more wary of, you know, having faith in the people around us today to make wise choices.
Yeah.
A good example is a couple of weeks ago, one of the episodes was number 70 called Familiar. It's about a man in the 1600s in England around the time of the English Civil War who kind of assigns himself the title of Witchfinder General. And he, for a year and a half, he travels all over the south of England, rounding up people suspected of witchcraft and having them executed. And you know, he's responsible for half of the deaths connected with that in England for 3 centuries. And he did it all in a year and a half. I mean, he was quite prolific. And it was a job fueled by hatred of others, you know, people they don't fit in. And it's kind of sad that that's still around today.
Well, it's easy to find a lot of different lore in New England. I know that's where you live and talking to us today from. But as we know, lore exists everywhere. And you even did a podcast episode called Making a Mark, which featured stories from North Carolina. And one of my favorite parts of that episode was the story on the Cora tree. A woman is accused of being a witch, and she mysteriously disappears from this tree that she's tied to right before she's supposed to be burned alive. This bolt of lightning hits the tree, and she escapes. And the only thing left is her name carved into the tree, which people can still see on Hatteras Island today.
According to the locals who tell the tale to this day, Captain Blood approached the tree with a lit torch in his hand, ready to set fire to the wood and burn the witch and her familiar alive. But another captain, a local man named John Smith, held him back, asking instead for Cora's trial to go through the proper legal channels. Smith, you see, being a sane man, wanted to do things right. But as the men argued, 2 things happened. First, the child in Cora's arms twisted and writhed as it transformed into a large black cat with shimmering green eyes. Second, a dark, ominous cloud began to gather overhead in an otherwise cloudless sky. Both men cried out in horror, and then Captain Blood lunged forward with the torch to ignite the kindling. It was at that very moment that the cloud overhead rumbled, and a lightning bolt flashed down, striking the tree and blinding everyone around it. When the smoke cleared, the tree was empty. The ropes were still there, as was the pile of branches and firewood. But the woman and the cat were gone without a trace. Well, that's not true. There was one clue, but it's difficult to believe. There, etched by lightning into the bark of the old oak tree, were 4 clear letters, which spelled out one single word. C-O-R-A. Cora.
So my question is, when you're looking for good lores to tell, like, what's the formula? What makes one story stand out versus another one, since they're everywhere?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I had a formula, because it would make it easier for me moving forward. I've done, I think 72 comes out on the 30th of this month. And you go into these, every time I go into them, I think, well, I've done a lot of these. I should be able to do this pretty easy this time. And every time is a challenge, just because it's not as simple as finding a cool story. It's, does the story have room for historical context to come in and flesh things out? Does the story have a long enough drama that I can tell that particular tale for, you know, 10 or 15 minutes? And I have to hold a lot of these ideas that I get up to that lens and use my intuition to say, you know, does this fit or not? And most of the time, I get the guess right. And, you know, there's been a couple times where I've started out and then I said, you know, this actually doesn't work. And I've had to walk away. But for the most part, trusting my gut, I can narrow it down. But there is no formula that I've been able to discern other than, can this tale, can it entertain? You know, and can it entertain for the amount of time I need it to?
Well, and you've done podcasting now, you've written books, and now you have a new exciting project involving the producers from The Walking Dead, where you've made a TV show of lore that's available on Amazon. Why did you want to explore that medium?
My love is story, and I'll take it anywhere I can get it. You know, I'll read graphic novels or watch TV shows or movies. Podcasts are great, and you know, picking up a book is great. I love story any way I can get it. But what I've learned over the years is that some people gravitate toward certain particular media types. And so TV watchers, there's a large percentage of them just don't listen to podcasts or read books. And you can say the same for readers, that they're just so in love with the physical book in their hands that they don't watch a lot of TV or listen to podcasts. There's overlap. There's always overlap. But what I wanted to do is make sure that I got good story out to people who love good story anywhere I could go. You know, so it's not so much about, you know, expanding an empire or some sort of, you know, get rich quick scheme. It's more about if there are people that love these kinds of stories that will never pick up a podcast. You know, there are certain generations that just won't do that or that are not on a streaming platform for TV, then I need to go where they're at. And so the TV show and the book series allow me to, you know, spread lore around a little bit better and just help the stories go places. It's also really cool when I bump into somebody. This happened on book tour last week where I was in Portland and I'd mentioned a lighthouse story in Portland years ago. And this person remembered me mentioning that story and said, you know, that's a local legend and most people in the world don't even know it, but you took it and turn it into something global and let lots of other people hear it. And it wasn't my goal, you know, it wasn't to let me go find the obscure things and share them with people. But at the same time, there's something really enjoyable about being able to say, here are stories from all over and we can all enjoy them. So that's my goal at the end of the day. Let me just share a story in as many places as I can.
And that's great. I mean, I remember when you announced on the podcast that you were going to be doing this new project, but you reassured people, you're like, don't worry, the podcast is not going anywhere. And I think, yeah. I mean, I was like, oh gosh, I hope that the podcast isn't going anywhere because it is such an intimate form of storytelling. It is just you kind of just like whispering in someone's ear this really interesting, unique story that they don't hear anywhere else. So I'm glad that you've been able to kind of hold on to both of those worlds.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, the good thing about what I do is that everything starts with writing and then that's the trunk of the tree. And then all the different media forms are just branches that come off of it. So I record that written form for audio and that's the podcast. I hand that written thing to the producers and the writers for the TV show and we adapt it for TV or I, you know, put that into a manuscript and I add and I curate for the books. And so everything starts with the one act of writing and that's pretty satisfying. You know, at the end of the day, I'm a writer. That's what I do.
What scares you?
I have some of the typical fears that a lot of people have. I don't like open water, which is ironic. I live near the ocean, but I don't like to get past a harbor. It just feels weird. And then the fear of being buried alive, right? That's just that. It's kind of a good mix of everything. It's got fear of the dark, fear of small spaces, and you know, fear of death.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know that your father, I don't know how old your children are, but I was wondering if they're grown or, you know, you're not reading stories to them. What kind of stories did you read to them when they were little growing up?
Well, so my kids are little. They're actually not old enough yet to the point where we're letting them experience lore. It's just a little beyond where we feel. And, you know, and that's something that it's interesting. I never set out and said, I'm going to have a filter in my head that limits the content. You know, that you can go find shows on podcast networks that have really deep, you know, fascinations with gore and violence. And, you know, that's fine. Some people like that and they think that that enhances the story. But I wanted to let the story itself, the narrative, be more of the star than the shock.
Well, and as a culture, it seems like we are kind of craving more of these scary horror stories. I mean, around this time of year, of course, but just in general with things from shows like The Walking Dead to podcasts like Lore, why do you think people enjoy being a little scared?
Well, you know, again, this comes back to me being an armchair psychologist more than anything, but I think part of it just has to do with the emotions you feel when you're afraid are so different than what you feel during your normal day. You know, the rush of adrenaline, you know, the increased heart rate, that little tingle. I think today we live in such a distraction-filled, isolated world, you know, where we're connected to everyone around the globe through social media, but at the same time, we're more alone than we ever were. I think we don't feel as much as we used to. And scary things have a way of bringing the feeling right back. And that might be part of it. Plus the stuff I talked about earlier, with just with this love of the unknown. You know, we're in a modern world that's kind of chased away all the shadows, you know, with modern medicine and technology. And because you can know everything with a few taps on your phone, there aren't a lot of questions left. And I think that can make people feel like they're a little lost in the sea. And entertaining the shadows is powerful. I think it grounds us a little bit. It's okay to say, I don't know, you know, to hear these stories and say, what in the world was that? Well, I don't know. And I think that For a long time, we've been afraid to say, I don't know, because it sounds weak, but we just don't know sometimes.
And I've heard you say before that people really haven't changed all that much in 300 years. We're still making the same mistakes, still doing the same horrible things and kind of repeating history over and over again. So besides people getting like a little thrill or that feeling of being scared and all the emotions that come up with that, what do you hope people take away when they listen to the podcast or the TV show or read one of the books?
I think it's very frightening how people can use beliefs, fear, and hatred to give themselves permission to do things that are outside the realm of common sense. And it's something that's happened for centuries. It's just kind of taken on different forms as we've gone along. But this idea of the other is what pops up so often in these stories. Sometimes the other is a monster that's been invented by a culture because they need someone to blame for their own mistakes. You know, I've heard it said, some anthropologists think that when the Vikings arrived in Iceland and there was nobody there to conquer, they just had a continent available to them, that they actually invented this idea of the elves because they needed someone to kind of point a finger at and tell stories about. And to this day, 53% of the people in Iceland believe in elves. And I think that there's a little bit of that going on in every generation where we point to the other and we cast our frustrations and blames on them, whether that other is, you know, for a while it was women, for a while it was people of a different skin color or somebody who's outside of our culture, or maybe they're not as religious as us. It's taken on so many different forms. That's the part that I think is the most frightening, is that, you know, we haven't given it up. We just today in 2017, we've just picked a different group of others to focus on, and we still do it in some way, shape, or form.
So you're going to be coming to Charlotte in November, November 2nd. What can people expect by a live show of Lore?
Well, so it's me and Chad Lawson, who is a number one Billboard classical pianist. He's from the Charlotte area. He writes a lot of the music, and he's on tour with me whenever we do this. And so it's me and Chad on stage. Chad's got a piano, and I've got a book of tales, and it's about 90 minutes long. You know, there's a theme to it. I walk people through some stories. It's a lot of rare or unheard material that you can't get on the podcast. Obviously, those nights always wrap up with some time with fans afterwards, talking about favorite episodes and getting to shake hands. So it's a good time.
That's Aaron Mankey speaking with WFAE's Sarah D'Elia. He's the creator, producer, and host of the podcast Lore, which has now been made into a television show on Amazon. He's also the author of the World of Lore book series. The Lore Live Tour with Aaron Mankey and musical guest Chad Lawson is rolling through Charlotte this Thursday, November the 2nd at 8 p.m. at the Dale Halton Theater on CPCC Central Campus. You can get more details about that and the Lore series at wfae.org/charlottetalks. I'm Mike Collins.